Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 8, Text 259 to 264. So Text 264 is being written on the board, and while it's being written, we can read 259 to 263. Text 259, translation. Ramananda Rai concluded, "The unfortunate empiric philosophers taste the dry process of philosophical knowledge, whereas the devotees regularly drink the nectar of love of Krishna. Therefore they are the most fortunate of all." Text 260, translation. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai passed the whole night relishing the mellows of Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna. While they were chanting, dancing and crying, the night ended. The next morning, they both departed to perform their respective duties. But in the evening, Ramananda Rai returned to meet the Lord again. Text 262. That evening, after discussing the topics of Krishna for some time, Ramananda Rai caught hold of the lotus feet of the Lord and spoke as follows. "There is a variety of transcendental truths, the truth about Krishna, the truth about Radharani, the truth about their loving exchange, loving affairs, the truth about transcendental humors, and the truth about the Lord's pastimes." Then we come to this text, translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. "You have manifested all these transcendental truths in my heart. This is exactly the way Narayan educated Lord Brahma." Purport. "The heart of Brahma was enlightened by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Vedic information given in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.18. Yo Brahmanam vidadhati purvam, yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai, tamhadevam atma buddhi prakasham, mukshurvai sharanam aham prapadye. Because I desire liberation, let me surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who first enlightened Lord Brahma in Vedic knowledge through Lord Brahma's heart. The Lord is the original source of all enlightenment and spiritual advancement." In this connection, one may also refer to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.30.35, 11.14.3, 12.4.40 and 12.13.19. Om Adhyanthim Ranjasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namom Vishnu Pahadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyamadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this particular text appears in the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. Two great personalities, the Lord Himself and His beloved Vishakha Gopi. Of course, Ramananda Rai is not an ordinary person, and in that sense is cognizant of all the secrets of the Lord's pastimes. However, we see in this particular conversation that Ramananda Rai takes the position of a disciple. And when Mahaprabhu asks Ramananda Rai, Please tell me what is the goal of life. Ramananda Rai gives a response, and Mahaprabhu in reply says, that's all right. Arakaho. Say more. Tell me more. And in this way, Mahaprabhu slowly and gradually takes him to the Ujjwala Prema Rasa, which is the highest topic of the loving exchange between the Lord and Srimati Radharani. In that process, Ramananda Rai realizes that actually Mahaprabhu is asking me to speak, but in reality, he is the one who is enabling me to speak. So generally speaking, there are five important topics that we discuss in philosophical terms. All the philosophers of all the sampradayas have spoken on these five topics. Whether it was Nimbarkacharya, or it was Vallabhacharya, or Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Mahaprabhu, all personalities have spoken on these five topics. What are the five topics of Bhagavad Gita? Anyone knows? Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, Karma. Perfect. So generally we say these five are the tattvas or the topics of discussion. It is true that these are the topics of discussion in a preliminary sense. But as one enters into the advanced understanding, the five topics of discussion are different. The five topics are, as the previous verse said, the five, anyone remembers the translation of the previous verse? Five topics are Krishna Tattva, Radha Tattva, Prema Tattva Sar, Rasa Tattva, and Leela Tattva. These are the five topics of advanced understanding. And these are the topics which Ramananda Rai spoke to Mahaprabhu. In return, he says this verse. Ramananda Rai says this verse. Eta Tattva Murachitte Koilo Prakashana. You have enlightened my mind, my heart. And Brahma ke Veda Jeno Poroilo Narayana. How have you enlightened my heart? The same way that Brahma was enlightened by Narayana. How was Brahma enlightened by Narayana? Yeah, somebody answered. Through the heart. So Brahma was initiated by Narayana, not through the formal process of initiation, but through the heart. And in that sense, Ramananda Rai is claiming here that you have initiated me, Mahaprabhu. And by being initiated by you, I have become enabled to speak these confidential secrets. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of initiation through the heart. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Janmadiyasya tanvayaditaratash charthesho vidnaswarat. Then next line is, Tene brahmaridaya adikavaye muhyanti yat surayaha. Tene, the Lord expanded this transcendental knowledge and He extended it, how? From the heart. Tene Brahma. Brahma here means not Brahmaji. Brahma means the Vedas, the Vedic knowledge. Tene Brahma Rida. With or through the heart. Tene Brahma Ridaya Adi Kavaye. Adi Kavi is Brahma. Brahmaji received this knowledge from the heart of Narayan directly. And this is the process of initiation, that the Guru transfers Krishna, or the potency of Krishna, or the knowledge of Krishna, to his disciples. Muhyanti yat surayaha. Unless Krishna himself empowers a jiva to understand him, even the demigods are bewildered. Muhyanti yat surayaha. Even the demigods are completely bewildered. So this path of Krishna consciousness is a path of revelation. It's not a path of instruction. Instruction there may be so many, but ultimately it's the revelation in the heart which transforms us as individuals. Nobody ever became a pure devotee simply by listening to a lot of katha, or chanting many rounds, or doing too much service. That's not the path of becoming a pure devotee. That is the means, that is the process. However, as it is mentioned in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Prabhupada also quotes another section of Shvetashvatara Upanishad. It says, Yasya deve para bhaktir, yatha deve tatha gurau. Just as we have bhakti towards Krishna, if we have the same amount of bhakti towards the Guru, what is the meaning? If we have the same degree of love, the degree of love we have for Krishna and his words, directly the same degree of love we have for Guru, and commitment to follow his instruction, then what happens? Tasyaite kathita yartha. Then the words that have been spoken, their meanings reveal. But it doesn't stop there. Prakashante mahatmanaha. Prakasha means the meaning is manifested. You see, there are three things. There is sound. Sound is constantly there. Even when you're sitting in silence, there is sound. The sound of your mind. Zzz, something is going on. Even right now you're listening to me, but maybe you're not listening to me, you're listening to your own minds. Most likely that's the situation. So we're constantly listening, the sound, constantly. Sound of our own minds, thoughts. And this sound is sometimes meaningful, sometimes it's meaningless. For example, when we dream all kinds of things. Sometimes it's a meaningless dream. So sound in itself, if I start speaking in a different language, which anyone here knows Hindi? Some people know Hindi. Anyone knows, I don't know, anyone knows Mandarin? Nobody knows Mandarin. So if I say, Wojdao Chungwan, Woda Chungwan Buhao, did you follow? It's sound. I said, I know Mandarin, but my Mandarin is not good. I said it in Mandarin. But you didn't follow because you don't know the language. So it wasn't meaningful. It was sound, but there was no meaning to it. So when one reads the Shastra, just for the sake of, you know, I want to know what it is that Krishna is saying. One reads sound, but not necessarily understands fully the meaning. Sometimes you understand the meaning, but still, the heart is not convinced. So, who is that personality who converts the meaning into a revelation? That personality is Shri Guru. That personality is the spiritual master who converts the meaning into a manifestation, a revelation. So three things are there. Shabda, which is sound. Greater than Shabda is Artha. Artha means meaning. A meaningful sound. And greater than Artha is Prakasha. Prakasha means light. Prakasha means manifestation. Prakasha means revelation. I can give you a book on how to swim. And you might read the book on how to swim. And you might understand it. And then I take you in a helicopter in the middle of the English Channel. And I say, jump and swim. You never swam before. You just read the book. What's the likelihood you'll start swimming across the English Channel? Not likely. Because you know the meaning. You know how, oh, this is the breaststroke, this is the front, this is the backstroke. You know all the different, you've seen the diagrams and you've maybe tried in air how to do it, but you've never actually swam. So the real manifestation is only when Sri Guru is involved. And he reveals. Even the meaning is not enough. Revelation has to happen. So here Srila Prabhupada in the purport gives the example. Yo brahmanam vidadhati purvam. Shvetashvatara Upanishad says. This Shvetashvatara was name of a sage. Shvetashvatara, the name of the Upanishad, is this Upanishad belongs to the Krishna Yajurveda. And it's the name of a sage. Of course, many Indologists from, primarily from Britain, attempted to twist and translate so many scriptures, Indian scriptures. They had the same modus operandi wherever they went, the colonial past. They colonized and they destroyed the native culture, the native language, and the native religion. They did the same in Africa and so many parts of the world. So in India also they translated. Anyway, so Shvetashvatara Upanishad is named after this rishi called Shvetashvatara. And Shvetashva, Shveta means white. And Ashva, generally anyone knows what Ashva means? Yeah, generally it means a horse. And Shveta Ashva means white horse. So do you know anyone named White Horse? I mean, it's just, or a Pink Pig, or something like that. You know, it's just that to a saint. Hey, White Horse, you know. It's just, so they translated it like that, Shvetashva. Tara. Tara means the best amongst the white horse. That's how the Indologists translated this name. But of course, the Shastras, they say, so there is, in everything, there is a modern view of things, and then there is the traditional view, and the tradition teaches a lot. And when we are connected to tradition, we know the truth. So, the traditional view is Shveta means pure, like the color white is pure. And Ashva here does not mean a horse, it means the senses, which are like the horse running in all directions. And Tara here means to swim. So one who is so pure that he is able to control his senses and swim across beyond the world of the senses. That's why he got the name Shvetashvatara. That's the name of the Upanishad anyway. It was a digression. But Shvetashvatara Upanishad, Prabhupada quotes, he says, Yo brahmanam vidadhati purvam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the one from whose navel Brahma appeared. Yo vai vedamscha prahinoti tasmai. And then, the Lord himself gave the Vedas to this Brahma. He was the creator of Brahma and he gave the Vedas to Brahma. Tam hadevam atma buddhi prakasham What is this Deva? Who is this Deva? Who is Krishna? Atma Buddhi Prakasham. Ultimately, it is Krishna who does Prakasha, who reveals that self, Atma, that supreme person, Buddhi Prakasham. He is the one who reveals the truth in the heart. So sometimes you study something, listen to something, but nothing goes through. And suddenly you have an aha moment. It's the Paramatma in the heart as Chaitya Guru who is revealing. There are three primary gurus. Actually, the Shastras say there are 24 gurus. Another place it says there are 6 gurus. Another place it says there are 4. But in our sampradaya, we believe 3 are primary. Which ones? Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, and Chaitya Guru. Chaitya Guru or Paramatma. These 3 are primary. And they all reveal the same thing. So here, Bhagwan himself revealed Vedas to Brahma. Because he is Atma Buddhi Prakasham. Mumukshur Vai Sharanam Aham Prapadye. Because I desire liberation, I meditate, I take shelter of that Supreme Person. This is the verse. So it's the grace of the Guru that enables one to become a puppet in the hands of the Guru. And actually, what does a Guru do? A Guru transfers Krishna. What's the difference? Why do you need a Guru? You could just read the books and become a Guru yourself. Once one person came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, why are you preaching so much all day long? Just keep quiet and go on with your work. One does not need to listen to anyone. One should not listen to anyone. Srila Prabhupada looked at him. He said, oh, very nice. One should not listen to anyone. So why should I listen to you? Prabhupada was very intelligent. This man said one should not read anything, listen to anyone. His point was, don't listen to anyone, become your own guru. So Prabhupada said, oh, then why I should listen to you? Your proposition, bogus proposition. So the difference between us reading a book, no matter how devotedly we read, and taking shelter of a spiritual master is that mentioned here. The spiritual master enables the person to become an instrument for the entire sampradaya. So we become instruments of the sampradaya. Just like Krishna was always there behind the curtain, but we did not see him. Now we see him. Because Krishna Govinda Prabhu kindly opened the curtains. So similarly, Krishna is always there in the heart, but he is not manifest until the Guru reveals it. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, when Mother Devaki was anticipating the 8th child. There is a mention in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 2, verse number 18, and the purport is very beautiful. The verse is, Tato Jagan Mangalam Achyutamsham, and then the supremely auspicious Jagan Mangalam, one who is the whole all auspicious personality of the universe. Who is that? Krishna. Achyutamsham, who is the Lord with all 6 opulences. Samahitam Shurasutena Devi. He was transferred by Shurasuta, Shurasen's son. Who is that? Vasudev. Vasudev transferred Krishna to Devi Dadhara, to Devi. Devi here means Devaki. Vasudev transferred Krishna into Devaki. How did he transfer Krishna into Devaki? Dadhara sarvatmakam atma bhutam. How did he transfer? So Prabhupada writes the purport. In the purport he quotes Veer Raghavacharya, where he says, Vasudeva Devaki jatharayor hridayor bhagavatah sambandha. Jatharayor hridayayor bhagavatah sambandha. Vasudev transferred Krishna. He was very devoted to Krishna himself. He transferred that Krishna, his own fruit of his own devotion, he transferred to the heart of Devaki. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, this is the process of initiation. Vasudev initiated Devaki. Prabhupada in the purport, if you read 10th canto, chapter 2, verse 18, purport, he says, Vasudev actually initiated Devaki by transferring Krishna to her heart. This is how the Guru transfers Krishna to the heart. It is not a matter of intellectual thinking. It's a matter of experience. Just like no matter what I tell you about a nice, non-alcoholic, nice tiramisu, which is something I love, sugar-free. But it's a hard one, too much. But yeah, too tempting. I spent a year in Italy, in Milan. So there was one vegan place which did alcohol-free tiramisu near Duomo. Anyway, so if I just tell you the recipe of this tiramisu, no matter how many times I tell you, you will not relish it. Your mouth might water at the most, but you will not get any taste. No sweetness, no soft, the soft relishing. It's a matter of experience. Similarly, this revelation, that's third stage, coming from shabda, sound, to artha, the meaning, to prakasha, revelation, only comes by taking shelter of Sri Guru and his words, his instructions. And that, Veer Raghavacharya says, Krishna is the Krishna factor that the Guru transfers from his heart to the heart of the disciple. And that is the real prakasha. So here, we see Ramananda Rai is saying the same thing to Mahaprabhu. Just like Brahma ke beda jena podailo Narayana. Just like Brahma received the Vedas from Narayan, you have actually revealed everything to me. Without revealing, you have revealed everything through the heart. So what is the position of one who has received the grace of the Lord? One who has received the grace of the Lord becomes an instrument. And this is very subtle. So you'll have to focus and try and understand. It says in the second canto, fourth chapter, verse 22, Shukdev Goswami is telling King Parikshit what happens when one receives the grace of the Guru. Prachodita yena pura Saraswati. Previously, prachodita, inspired, instructed. Saraswati, Saraswati Devi was inspired or instructed by the Lord Himself. Vitanvata jasya satim smritim hridi. Vitanvata, same word as tene brahmarida, tene. Vitanvata, extended or expanded. Saraswati, by the instruction of Krishna, expanded herself and set in the mind and the heart of Brahma. Svalakshana pradurbhut kilasyatah. She herself set on the mind, in the mind and heart of Brahma, and revealed the Vedas. So who revealed the Vedas to Brahma? Who revealed the Vedas to Brahma? Huh? I just said it. Are you attentive? Huh? Saraswati revealed on the instruction of Krishna. Saraswati revealed the Vedas. However, who is known in the three worlds as the speaker of the Vedas? From whose mouths the four Vedas come? Four mouths? Brahma. So, we all know Brahmaji is chanting the Vedas. The Rig Veda comes from the front. From the right comes Yajur. From the back comes Atharva. And from the left comes Sama. These four Vedas are constantly coming out from the mouth of Brahma. So that's what is mentioned here. Svalakshana pradurbhut kilasyatah. Vedas were actually revealed by Krishna to Brahma. And then the Vedas, the same Vedas were revealed by Brahma to the three worlds. Same rishinam rishabha prasidatam. May that original rishi, may that greatest of rishis, the Supreme Lord, be merciful upon me. That is what is the prayer here. And we see that a disciple, a true disciple, becomes an instrument for his guru. Here, who is the guru? Krishna. Who is the disciple? Brahma. What has he received? The Vedas. What does he do? Being a true disciple, he reveals the same Vedas to the three worlds, to the entire universe. So the guru is empowering the disciple, and the disciple reveals what the guru has revealed forward, and that is the guru shishya parampara. Krishna is transferred from one personality to another, and the guru shishya parampara continues. So this is the guru shishya parampara. Now there was one personality who was the embodiment of this guru shishya parampara. And I want to speak a little bit about him. Actually, before I talk about him, in 1478, a great personality appeared in Burdwan province near Katwa in Bengal. And that personality, his name was Narahari Sarkar. In 1486, who appeared in 1486? So 8 years after Narahari Sarkar's appearance in Bengal, in Navadvip, appeared Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in 1486. 1486 is his appearance. Eight years before him was Narahari Sarkar. And Narahari Sarkar became a great associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Narahari Sarkar was an associate, was a disciple, you could say, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Narahari Sarkar was 45 years old, he had a great desire to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela in colloquial Bengali, in a Bengali that even the fishermen while going out fishing, even the farmers while going out farming could just chant. It's a colloquial poem. He had a desire, Narahari Sarkar. However, his health wasn't keeping well and he was failing. So with his deep desire to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in colloquial Bengali, he prayed. He prayed to the Lord Please send me someone who can fulfill this desire. In 1523, that's 37 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, 37 years later, in 1523 appeared in the house of Kamalakara Vaidya and Sadanandi Devi, appeared a boy whose name was Trilochana Das. Trilochana Das was a beautiful boy, always absorbed, and when he was only 1.5 years old, he started chanting, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know, children start saying, da, 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 pa, 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 some nonsensical words, yeah? This boy was saying, Krishna. And they were saying, what's your name? He would say, Krishna. What do you want to eat? Krishna. What do you want to play? Krishna. Where's your mother? Krishna, Krishna. He couldn't say anything but Krishna. So, Kamalakara was very fascinated, but at the same time worried as a father. He tried to teach him reading and writing. Slowly he learned, Trilochana, slowly learned reading and writing, but he was considered to be a very dull boy. In a mundane sense, he never really studied as it was expected of him. And later on, Kamalakara thought that, well, I should just teach him the profession of Vaidya. Vaidya means Ayurvedic doctors. So Kamalakara taught him Ayurveda. At the age of 7, he started learning from his father. At the age of 11, in 1534, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world. When Trilochana Das was 11 years old, Mahaprabhu left this world. The following year, Kamalakara, the father of Lochana Das, Trilochana Das, he married off Trilochana. So in those days in Bengal, there was a norm that, especially in respectable families, it also happened in Europe in those days, in the medieval period. People used to decide through marriage ties, they would decide family ties. Especially amongst royals, it was very common that sometimes even when the child was born, say a daughter was born to a certain royal family, another royal family had a son born, and they would say, okay, we will strengthen our family ties by, when they grow up, we'll get them married. And they gave their word to each other. So in society in Bengal, this was prevalent in families of those who were well respected. Because so this Lochandas, he was only 12 years old. Kamalakar had a friend whose daughter was 9 years old, and they were married. Married is a ceremonial marriage, but the girl goes and lives with the father till she turns 17, 18. And the boy lives with his own father and family till he turns 21. But in that way, you know, because now in the modern age, there is no concept of marriage. And even if there is marriage, it's at the age of 40. So that when you have a child and you go out in the park with the child, somebody walking next to you thinks that, oh, you are his grandfather. Yeah. And now this is commonplace. I have a friend, he's Iranian. And he just sent me a message last week. Work colleague sent me a message last week that to congratulate, you know, he was saying that, please pray when you go to your temple for my son. So he's got a son born. He's only 57 years old and he has a son born. So now I'm thinking, okay, his son is 15, this man is 70 plus, you know, 72 or something, 15-year-old. This goes on. Nowadays it's all topsy-turvy. And even young teenagers, they don't know. So the teenagers are always thinking of, oh, who is the suitable girl? Who is the suitable boy? And the mind constantly wastes. Our mind is wasted in that sense, trying to look for a partner. A boy is looking for a girl, the girl is looking for a boy. All the youthful years, the years, the prime years, when your energy is increasing, it's gone. So in the ancient times, olden times, marriage was done at a young age so that the girl knew, oh, this is going to be my husband. The boy knew, oh, this is going to be my wife. The families were in agreement, the families were of similar characteristic. So those who were dacoits would give their daughters to dacoits. So similar, you know, characteristic. The royals would marry off to royals. The vaidyas, like Kamalakar was a vaidya. Vaidya means a doctor, would marry off to doctors. So and slowly, you know, the boy is no more taxed about, oh, I have to look for a girl. The girl is not taxed about, oh, I have to look for a boy. And they live in their own parents' houses. It's not that the girl goes to the boy's house or the boy goes to the girl. No, not that. So like that, Trilochan Das was married at the age of 12 to a girl who was 9 years old. And at the same, in the same year, Trilochan Das met Narahari Sarkar. And Narahari Sarkar had prayed, please send me someone who can write about the life of Mahaprabhu in colloquial Bengali. And Trilochan Das, 12-year-old boy, being so much deeply influenced by Narahari Sarkar, took initiation from Narahari Sarkar, accepted him as his guru. And what does a guru do? He transfers Krishna into the heart of the disciple. He does the open heart surgery, closed heart surgery. He transfers Krishna. So this desire of the guru, Narahari Sarkar, was transferred into the heart of Trilochana. And this Trilochana was now known as Lochana Das. Today is the appearance day of Lochana Das Thakur. Lochana Das, he studied Murari's Kadacha. Kadacha, Murari was also a doctor. But he was also a friend of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was senior to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, older than Mahaprabhu. He maintained a notebook of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in Sanskrit. This was studied by Lochana Das Thakur. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Chandramrita. This was studied by Lochana Das. And Lochana Das started to compose a book called Chaitanya Mangala in Bengali. His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was so much deeply affected by this Chaitanya Mangal that he translated it. Well, it's in Bengali, it's colloquial Bengali. He published it and he made it available far and wide in Bengal. So actually all the Chaitanya Mangal we have today was originally published by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and distributed by Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So this Lochana Das, he was married, but he had a habit. He would spend most of his time under a banyan tree in Burdwan, which is Actually, the name of the place was Vardhaman. Later on, it became Burdwan. So, this is where Narhari Sarkar stayed, in a place called Borodanga. So, in Borodanga, even now, Narhari Sarkar's kutir is there. And that is the Guru's kutir where Lochandas would reside. And he almost forgot about his wife. So the tradition is that every 3 months, just so that, you know, that relationship remains alive, the boy visits the girl's house. When this child marriage happened those days, the boy would visit the girl's house just during the day, just to meet the family, the in-laws, and to meet the girl. The girl never visited the boy's house till the girl became 16 or 18. So the custom was the boy had to go, but this Lochandas would never go. So the in-laws became very, very, you know. I mean, we also have this experience. We don't go to in-laws' house. The in-laws become little, you know, unhappy. So you have to balance. Grihastha life is the greatest balancing act. That is what you learn in Grihastha life. The Grihastha ashram teaches you only two things. Tolerance and compromise. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur almost said it. And so, Lochandas was not interested. So the father-in-law of Lochandas came to Narhari Sarkar and said, please send your disciple. Otherwise, he will forget his wife. He will forget my daughter. So, under the instruction of Narhari Sarkar, Lochandas Thakur would regularly visit his wife, who was 9 years old, and they would discuss Chaitanya Leela. And his wife became a great devotee and acharya herself. And they had no children, anything, but he married her at the age of, no, he had already married her, he accepted her at the age of 17, 18. She came to Lochandas Thakur and she used to stay in her own kutir. Lochandas Thakur would stay in his own kutir. But they were married and they were very happy. Always conversing about Mahaprabhu's leela. This was their life. So this same Lochandas, he wrote many, many wonderful pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 11,000 verses. Chaitanya Mangal has 11,000 verses. Huge literature. And it can be sung. It is actually meant to be sung. It's not meant to be read. It's not prose. It's colloquial poetry. Different rhythms and rhymes have been used in colloquial poetry. It's a beautiful book. So three books talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. What are those three books? At least we should know one of them. Chaitanya Charitamrita, written by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Second is Chaitanya Bhagavat, written by Vrindavan Das Thakur. And the third is Chaitanya Mangala, written by Lochandas Thakur. And this Vrindavan Das Thakur, when he wrote his book on the pastime of Mahaprabhu, he also named it Chaitanya Mangala. But later on, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, considering that Vrindavan Das Thakur is none other than, who is Vrindavan Das Thakur? He is Vyasadev. Reappeared as Vrindavan Das Thakur. So because Vyasadev wrote Bhagavatam, they renamed his book from Chaitanya Mangal to Chaitanya Bhagavata. Because he is Vyasa of Chaitanya Leela. The Vyasa of Krishna Leela is Veda Vyas. Krishna Dvaipayana Veda Vyas. The Vyasa of Chaitanya Leela is Vrindavan Das. Vrindavan Das Thakur. But Chaitanya Mangal, Bhaktivinoda Thakur considers Chaitanya Bhagavata as Varnanatmika book. Varnanatmika means that which is descriptive in nature. But Lochan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Mangal is considered to be Rasa Atmika. Rasa Atmika means it is very, very sweet. It's a very sweet literature. And although in one sense Lochan Das Thakur appeared 37 years after Mahaprabhu, and when he started writing Chaitanya Mangal, Mahaprabhu had already disappeared. He never had personal association of Mahaprabhu. Through the revelation of the Guru, Lochan Das Thakur could write about the lifetime, life and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such sweet manner. There are many pastimes that he has given which we don't find in either Chaitanya Charitamrita or in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Many pastimes are there. Maybe one or two I can mention. For example, when Nimai was a small boy, he was 7 years old. One day he was playing with his friends on the banks of the Ganga. Nimai is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was playing on the banks of Ganga, he saw a puppy, a little dog. And there were many puppies. And the mother of the puppies was not around. Or maybe she had just left the litters. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the first one to claim the cutest looking puppy. And he said, "This is mine." And then the friends, they got the other puppies. So they all took about 8 to 10 puppies were there. They all took one each. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the puppy and he brought it home. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father is a Brahmana. In a Brahmana's house, you can't have a dog inside the house. So, Mother Shashi said, "Oh, you've got a puppy?" Nimai said, "Yes, this is my puppy and nobody touches it." So, Mother Shashi said, but we can't keep a puppy in the house. He said, "No, you have to keep him." And then he tied him up and, you know, like a puppy band, and he tied him up somewhere, Mahaprabhu, and he was playing with him all day long like a toy. For many days it went on like this. And one day, the boys, who had got other puppies who were not as cute looking as Mahaprabhu's puppy, they went and told Mother Sachi that, you know, when he goes to take bath in the Ganga, maybe you can untie this puppy and let the puppy run away. Because they were unhappy that they didn't get nice puppies themselves. So they told Mother Sachi, and Mother Sachi actually did it. She untied the puppy and the puppy ran away. You know, ran away somewhere in the market or somewhere. And Mahaprabhu came. Nimai came. He was very upset with his mother. "Why did you do it? Why did you let my puppy go? Where will I find it now?" So he called all his friends. And he said, "Go in all directions and find that puppy." So they all went all over Nabadweep to find the puppy. And after a few hours, there was an amazing scene. In a market, hundreds of people had gathered looking at something. And when these friends, they somehow scrambled through and went to the front, they saw there was this small 8-week-old puppy. Small, very small. On his 2 feet, with his other 2 feet in the air, dancing on his 2 feet, and small with a small voice barking out, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." And he was crying, there were tears coming from his eyes. So by the association of Nimai, even the puppy became Krishna conscious. And then Mahaprabhu, when he found the puppy, he took him. And the puppy immediately left his body. And a plane came from Vaikuntha in front of all these villagers. And the puppy's body transformed into the 400 form of Vishnuduta, climbed the aeroplane and left. This was witnessed by all those who were present. This pastime is not mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami, not mentioned by Vrindavan Das Thakur, but mentioned by Lochan Das Thakur. Maybe one more pastime, for example. Okay, so there is another nice pastime where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he is going to Jagannath Puri and he is marching at great speed. He is running to Jagannath Puri. And on the way he feels thirsty. And when he feels thirsty, he finds that just outside near a village is a man who is selling lassi. You know what lassi is? Yeah. He's selling lassi. And Mahaprabhu stands in front of him and says, please give me some. So he gives him one pot. Mahaprabhu says, more. Gives him more. And more. He gives him more. And ultimately Mahaprabhu says, wait, I'll make it easy for you. He picks up this huge pot and Mahaprabhu drinks the entire pot. He's so thirsty. And this man cannot believe his eyes. He says, oh. And he says, okay, well, I usually sell this over a 10-hour period, but you finished it all. That's great news for me. You can give me the money for this. Mahaprabhu says, I have no money. But you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers were running behind him to catch up with him. So Mahaprabhu said, I have no money, but my followers are coming, you can ask them. Now these followers, they were also only interested in Mahaprabhu. They didn't, you know, like when I travel, I have a wallet. I have my mobile phone. You know, we all travel like that, right? Even if I'm coming to the manor. What if my daughter asks me for, Daddy, I want to buy this. I need to have some money. What if somebody calls me, I need my phone. But these devotees, they were so completely absorbed in, oh, Mahaprabhu is leaving Navadvip. They ran behind him. In the clothes they had worn, in the, you know, like mad people, they just ran. So when this Lassiwala, he stopped, oh, you crowds, are you following that sannyasi? They said, yes. Have you seen him? Oh, he went that direction. But wait, pay me for the lassi. I said, we don't have any money. I said, what? The sannyasi, the master has no money. The master is a beggar and the followers are also beggars. He said, oh my God, all my lassi, today I'm going to go hungry. I got no money. Then his heart transformed and he said, okay, if you meet that sannyasi, just tell him, my heart is not heavy. He was so beautiful. He was so mesmerizing. Although he did not pay me, tell him, I was very happy. I'm very happy. And tell him that he should consider this as a donation from my heart. You know, we do book distribution. We say, give anything from your heart. Once I was doing book distribution in Harrow on the Hill area. And I gave a small book to a Jewish family. And the boy, the mother took the book and he said, thank you, we don't want it. And I said, no, you can keep it. It'll be, you know, and I described some things. So she took it, somehow reluctantly. And then I said, you know, the final straw. Well, you can give us anything from your heart. Because you should give something. And then she said, oh, well, today's a Sabbath day. We don't touch money. Today's Saturday. I should have been more careful to going to a Jewish house on a Saturday. But yeah, anyway, Mahaprabhu's mercy goes on all days of the week. So she said, oh, well, we don't touch money, so I can't give you anything. So the little boy said, oh, Mama, I've got something. And his mom was saying in Hebrew something to him, but the boy just ran up, perhaps to his bedroom. He came down and he gave me, you know, like this Harry Potter magic wand, little thing. And he said, I made this from a stick. maybe from his garden stick or something. He said, you can take this. And whatever you're doing, because while I distributed the book, I said, this is a magical book. It'll change your life. So this boy ran up and he brought this magic wand. It was actually just a stick from his garden, perhaps, which he had painted, and, you know, he gave it to me and said, you can take this. It will help with your magic. I said, okay, I'll accept it. So give something from your heart. From your heart is more important than a particular number. So this Lassiwala says, from my heart I've given to this beautiful mesmerizing sannyasi. Let him, you know, he's drank everything, that's okay. And the follower said, yes, yes, we'll let him know. And they ran. And this man sat and he said, oh, okay, let's go home. And his pot was covered with a cloth because he had, everything was finished. So he just covered it to wind it up. And he wanted to lift the pot. He couldn't lift the pot. And he tried again. He couldn't lift the pot. And he said, is it stuck somehow? The mud is stuck at the bottom? He checked, no. And he opened the cloth. He uncovered the pot. And the pot was full of gems, precious stones, and nuggets of gold. No service that is done to Mahaprabhu or his devotees goes without a reward. No matter how small, even if it's a fake magical wand. Yeah? Something has been given, so something will be received. So here we see in this pastime. This pastime is also not mentioned by Kaviraj Goswami or by Vrindavan Das Thakur, but it's mentioned by Lochan Das Thakur. Lochan Das Thakur, not only is his revelations limited to these pastimes that are not mentioned elsewhere, but he revealed something else. And I want to read 3-4 verses. I was actually told before I started the class, because it's Christmas Eve today, 24th, there's a big feast. And whoever is cooking the feast, they are praying, may the class go on till a little longer. That's what I was told. Every year they are praying that, because they are never ready. So the class finishes, and devotees run to the prasadam hall. It increases their blood pressure and heart palpitation. So I was told to speak a little longer. I'll speak normal time. We can go up to 9:15 and take some questions. The revelation, Mahaprabhu's pastimes revealed. But there's one great secret that Lochan Das Thakur revealed that Kaviraj Goswami did not directly reveal, or Vrindavan Das Thakur did not directly reveal. Can you think of that? What is that? Does anyone know what that is? That Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined. Yeah, that was revealed by both Vrindavan Das Thakur and Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He says, Shri Krishna Chaitanya is non-different from Radha Krishna combined. So let's read. I have some time, 5-10 minutes. So we'll read this. But at the end, you'll be very, very pleased when this revelation comes. This is not found anywhere else. So, I'll read the Bengali. Generally, the Bengali is not read. And I don't think there's a Bengali version available of Chaitanya Mangal. Whatever is available in the market is in English. So, we'll read the Bengali and I'll give you the gist. So, but first, what happens in the first sutra khand of this Chaitanya Mangal is got four divisions. The first division is like the preface of a book, or like the introduction. So it talks about why Krishna appeared. Why did he appear as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What was the reason? What was the background? And in brief, the pastime is that Narad Muni, looking at Kali Yuga's situation and how people in Kali Yuga are, is very, very dejected. He's very unhappy. And because of his unhappiness, he approaches Lord Narayan, and ultimately he goes to Goloka. And in Goloka, he finds out from Krishna that Krishna is going to come himself, appear himself in this Kali Yuga in a golden form. And Krishna tells Balram, Balram, you go ahead before me and you distribute that bliss, nitya, eternally, blissful, ananda, appear as Nityananda. And so Balram appears as Nityananda ahead of Krishna. You are my older brother, you go and appear first, and I'm coming. And saying this, he then tells Narad Muni that you may also go now. So he sees him off. And then Krishna is contemplating. And he's contemplating how, what weapons will he use? And who will be the instrument? What kind of associates he will use to kill the demons in Kali Yuga? And where are the demons hiding? Yes, where are the demons hiding? Whose heart? In everyone's heart, the demons are hiding. So, Krishna is wondering, how would I do it? And while he is contemplating that, he is surrounded by Rukmini, Satyabhama, and also Srimati Radharani. And they are listening to Krishna speaking about how he will work out his pastimes in Kali Yuga. And this is that conversation. This is Krishna's self-talk. Actually, the conversation that we will read. Only a few verses. It's in beautiful Bengali. So, the verses are text 554 onwards of Chaitanya Mangal, Sutra Khand, first section. Dharma samsthapana kori nabu joi keho adhika baraye papa paramada seho. I am meant to establish dharma, Krishna is thinking. However, I established dharma in Satyuga, still people committed sins. Then I re-established dharma in Treta Yuga, still people committed sins. I re-established dharma in Dwapar Yuga, still they are committing sins. Shatta Yuga Adhika Tretaya Bore Papa Dapara Tahara Adhika Eboro Santapa. In Satyuga, they were committing some sins. In Treta Yuga, they committed more sins, humans. But in Kali Yuga, they are committing so many sins. Just the entire life is sinful. Kali Ghora Andhakara Nahi Dharma Lesha. In Kali Yuga, there is only darkness. There is not even a streak of dharma. Koruna Boriya Dekhi Sarvajana Klesha. His Koruna, his compassion increased. Krishna's compassion increased seeing the painful situation of everyone in Kali Yuga. Adharma Binasha Hetu Mora Abhatara. I appear, Krishna thought to himself, I appear to destroy irreligiosity, adharma. Baro Epuna Ki Kaja Amara. Other than that, what is my work? What job do I have? To go to the material world? Only to destroy adharma? Aichano janiya doya upajilo chitte. Knowing this, he felt, Krishna felt a lot of compassion. Janama lohiya nija prema prakashite. I will appear to reveal the love of Godhead. That is why I'll appear. Krishna thought to himself, E moto durlabha prema bhakti prakashiya. Thinking this, very rare thing, bhakti, I will be illuminating that, revealing that in Kali Yuga. Bhujai bolo ke dharma dharma bichariya. And I will be revealing what is dharma and what is adharma. So Krishna is thinking, this is what I will do. How will I do it? See, actually, this is the prediction. So he says, now Krishna is telling himself, but he's speaking out loud, and Radharani and Satyabhama, Rukmini, they're all listening. Krishna says, Navadvipe janma mora sachira udare. I will be born in Navadvip, in the womb of Mother Sachi. Ganga rasa mipe jagan natha mishra ghore. Near Ganga, in the house of Jagannath Mishra, I will be born. Ara avatara heno avatara nahi. I will not be an avatar like other avatars. Asura samhara hetu prithvi bijoy. Other avatars, they came to earth to win over the asuras, to kill the asuras. I will not be that kind of avatar. In fact, Prabodhananda Saraswati, who is the uncle of Gopala Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, he wrote a beautiful work called Chaitanya Chandramrita. It's in wonderful Sanskrit, in which there is one verse which is so potent but so direct. He says, Raksho daita kulam hatam kiyad idam yogadi vartmak kriya. Somebody's getting a reminder. Raksho daita kulam hatam kiyad idam. What is the use of an avatar who kills demons like Hiranyakashipu and Ravana? What good did the avatar of Ram and what good did the avatar of Narsingha do? Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying, what good is the avatar of Narsingha and Ram? What did they do? What did they achieve? They just killed some demons. Yoga di vartma kriya margova prakatati kritakiyad idam. Yoga di vartma kriya marga. And what good is the avatars like Kapila, who promoted and propagated Sankhya Yoga? What good did they do to the wider population? Not much. Ramachandra, not much good. Narsimhadev also not much good. Kapila, not much good. Srushtyadikam va kiyat. Even guna avatars like Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. Brahma created, he is also a guna avatar of the Lord. What good did he do? Not much. Medin yuddharana dikam kiyad idam. Medini means earth. Uddharana means the uplifting, the lifting of the earth. Which avatar did the lifting of the earth? Varaha. So, Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying, you lifted the earth. So what good did you do? Ramchandra, Narsingha, you killed demons. So what good did you do? I mean, something, but not, it's not extraordinary. Kapila, you promoted Sankhya Yoga. Not extraordinary. Brahma, you created. Not extraordinary. Vara, you lifted the earth when it was falling into the Patala Loka, Rasatala Loka. Not much good. Premojvalaya maha Bhakter Vartma Karim Param Bhagavatash. But the greatest good was done by this one particular avatar who revealed the highest love of Godhead indiscriminately to everyone. Chaitanya Murtim Stuma. Let us all glorify this Chaitanya Murti, this form of Lord Chaitanya, who is the Sabha Avatara Sara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. Sabha Avatara Sara Shiromani. He is the essence of all the avatars, Mahaprabhu. So, continuing this words of Lochan Das Thakur, Krishna is thinking, how will I deliver this people of Kali Yuga? What does he say? Mahakaya, Mahashura, Mahashtra, Mora. In the previous ages, Mahakaya, I had a big, strong body. Krishna is 11 feet and 6 inch. And Balram is little taller, about 12 feet. Ordinary humans are about 8 feet. So, Padma Puran says that by the end of Kali Yuga, see only 5,000 years of Kali Yuga have passed. How many years of Kali Yuga are there? 432,000 years. Of which how many have passed? 5,000. Every yuga is divided into four charana. Charana means parts. So the first, we are in the first part of the Kali Yuga in the first 5,000 years. But Kali Yuga is not that strong. Padma Puran describes as Kali Yuga progresses. And in the last charana of the Kali Yuga, the last, if you divide 432,000 years into four, the last section of the Kali Yuga, there will be only grass, nothing else grows, no fruits grow. Trees don't bear any fruits. Trees are also only grass and cactus they grow. So people, those who have nothing else to eat, they eat cactus and they eat grass. And still, there are people who are always butchering each other, killing each other and, you know, looting each other. So to hide from those people, ordinary humans will live in caves and in underground places. The sun does not shine because there is clouds all the time. And it's too cold or too hot. Extreme. We are already seeing this climate change and all that. But these extremes in Kali Yuga. At the end of Kali Yuga. We are talking how many years? Some 400,000 years. Long time. Well, there's a catch. I'll tell you what the catch is. But anyway. Okay, I'll tell you the catch first. If we don't progress to our spiritual destinations, we are born again, and who knows, we might be born again in a more progressed Kali Yuga, which will be a more difficult place. Correct? That's the catch. But anyway, so it says things like, for example, people will, there's no concept of marriage, there's no concept of truthfulness, there's no concept of being dutiful towards your parents, towards your family. And people will have, because there'll be shortage of food and they can't even, because of fear of their life, they can't even come out, crawl out of those caves. They will decide to have children so that they can eat them. People will have children so that they can eat them. Such, you know, there'll be such desperation, such struggle for survival. And it says that the cows will be the size of small baby goats or lambs. We see the cows in the Goshala, huge cows, right? They're almost my height, 5 feet, 8 inch. But they'll be size of small baby lambs. That'll be the size of cows. Humans, the tallest human being will be 4 feet. Which is like a boy who is in year 4, 5, 6. So that is the progressed Kali Yuga in hundreds of thousands of years as things deteriorate, as we destroy the planet and we harm our own self in the process. And the time has its own effect. So, here Krishna is saying, Mahakaya, Mahashura, Mahashtramura. In the previous ages, I was huge. And the asuras were also huge. Trinavarta was 80 miles. That's like quite something. It's even higher than an airplane flies. Okay. So, Mahashtramura. Huge weaponry were there. You know, weapons were there. Previous ages. Hundreds of thousands of years ago. Maharane Shamahara Koriya Kora Chura. And there was fierce battles and I would kill the asuras and, you know, destroy them completely. Ebe Sharba Janashei Ridoye Asuri. But now, asura is in everyone's heart. Kharga astre chedda nahi rane ki bakori. How can I fight on a battlefield? And what can a sword do when the asura is now in everyone's heart in Kali Yuga? It's asura vritti, means the way of thinking is demoniac. The way of acting is demoniac. Namaguna sankirtana vaishnavera shakti. So how will I achieve what I want to achieve in Kali Yuga? Krishna says, through Nama Sankirtana, number one. Nama Sankirtana, Nama Guna Sankirtana, Vaishnavera Shakti, number two. By the means of Vaishnavas. Prakasha Koribo Ara Nija Prema Bhakti. And I shall promote Prema Bhakti. E Mate Kalikala Papa Koribo Samhara. This is how I will destroy Papa from everyone's heart. Shaba chalo age pache nakoro bichara. All my associates, come on, let's go to earth. This is what Krishna is thinking. Let us all appear on earth. Ebe nama sankirtana. No, I just said that. And then, oh, I think I might have missed one verse. But the verse I wanted to chant, which is missed here. Oh no, it is there. Ebe nama sankirtana khargatikhna laya. This sankirtan, yagya, is the sword of this Kali Yuga. In the previous ages, I appeared with a sword by which I chop the demons. In Kali Yuga, this Sankirtan Yadna is the sword. Antara Asura Jibeer Phelio Katiya. The Asura within the heart is killed through this Sankirtan Yagya. Now, the last line. Please chant after me. Loudly. Jadi Papi Chori Dharma. If people, they either leave India or leave dharma. Two meanings. Main meaning is jadi papi chori dharma. If individuals leave religiosity, dura deshe jaya, and they go away to the Western worlds. So the Western worlds become followers of very sinful life in general. Then, how will I reach them? Krishna says, Mora Sena Pati Bhakta. I will send my general in chief. Jaibe Tathaya. He will go there to the Western worlds. And this chief general of mine will claim them. Even though they have run away, and in the Western worlds they are following sinful life. Who is this Senapati Bhakta? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. This is from Chaitanya Mangal of Lochandas Thakur. Today is his appearance day. So he could reveal this 500 years back. He revealed this in his Chaitanya Mangal, that Krishna is talking to Srimati Radharani, Rukmini and Satyabhama, that my Senapati Bhakta will go to the Western world. I will appear and I will distribute Nam Sankirtan, but I will not go far and wide myself. For that, my Senapati Bhakta will come and he will go. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also revealed this in Samalochana in Sajjana Toshini. He writes in Bengali, in 1896, who appeared in 1896? Srila Prabhupada. Around the same time, Bhaktivinoda writes in Bengali, he says, he sees the signs and he says, Ati alpa diner madhe Mahaprabhu sarvadesha vyapi hoya ekamatra upasya tatva hoitachen. He's Bengali. You can translate. What is the meaning? Ati alpa diner madhe. Very soon, in a very short time, Mahaprabhu sarvadesha vyapi hoya ekamatra upasya tatva hoitachen. Mahaprabhu will be, his mercy will be spread all over the world and everyone will worship him. This prediction he writes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and soon after Srila Prabhupada is born, the Senapati Bhakta. So Lochandas Thakur, although he was not present at the time of Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu's mercy was revealed to him by his guru, Narahari Sarkar. He was the tool in the hands of Narahari Sarkar because he is the one who wrote Chaitanya Mangal. So the guru enables this disciple to become the tool or the instrument to achieve his own purpose. And what is the guru's purpose? His purpose is that of his own guru. And what is his guru's purpose? If you go on asking, it is ultimately the purpose of Krishna himself. So Krishna's purpose is achieved through the means of the disciple. And that is what here Ramananda Rai is saying. You have achieved your purpose, Mahaprabhu, by making me speak. By first giving me the knowledge, just like Brahma ke beda jeno podilo Narayan. Just like Narayan taught Brahma through the heart, you were the one who gave me Krishna, and then later on I am the one who is telling you about these tattvas. So we understand that, as Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, it is very difficult to find a genuine guru. But then he added, it is even more difficult to find a genuine disciple. So let us become genuine disciples and disciples of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, the Senapati Bhakta, who appeared in this world to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.